Support for WPR comes from Present Music, performing honest music with guest violist and curator Nadia Sirota, May 9th at 8 at the Milwaukee Art Museum. Tickets and info are at presentmusic.org.
Dementia impairs a person's abilities in work, in their social interactions, and in their relationships. One way to address the social challenges is to create a gathering place for people with memory loss and cognitive impairments. We're talking about memory cafes opening up around the country and here in Wisconsin. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Have you been to a memory cafe? Perhaps you've taken an aging parent or relative to one. And if so, what was the experience like, both for the person you took and for yourself? Call in at 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Becky DeBurr is Program Director and Outreach Specialist for the Alzheimer's and Dementia Alliance of Wisconsin. That's a nonprofit support and advocacy organization with offices around the state. Becky, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, take us to a memory cafe. What exactly is it?
Well, a memory cafe offers people with dementia and their care partners the opportunity to enjoy just regular social interaction with others who are in a similar circumstance as they are. It's often a very warm and welcoming environment where there's socialization, some beverages and snacks, and cognitively stimulating activities.
What might be these cognitively stimulating activities?
Well, some examples at the Alzheimer's and Dementia Alliance that we've participated in with persons with early memory loss are things like storytelling, reviewing photos from reminiscing of past times, maybe special occasions. I could remember our very first memory cafe in 2012 in Sauk City, Wisconsin, where a tamed hawk was the center of attention, and those who were interested were allowed to let the hawk sit on their arm. And I just remember the one spouse, she was so excited because it was the most she had heard her husband speak in quite some time. So it was very interactive and very touching. So it could be all sorts of things, but it's really participant-driven. They tell us what their interests are, and we help make that happen.
These activities could jog memories or perhaps spur something in their own mind that they can recall.
Correct. Oftentimes with memory loss, we just need to help our loved ones connect to those memories. If you think about it, you know the most about your spouse or significant other, and so we can help connect to maybe the very first car they had when they turned 16, or what was your first pet's name. Oftentimes we hold that information within us as a care partner, and so it's just really helping them connect to those memories through reminiscing and giving them cues along the way to help those conversations really flourish.
Becky, do we know where memory cafes, the idea came from, where they originated?
We do. Actually, they started in Europe. So in 1998, a Dutch psychologist, Dr. Meeson, started a social program for people with dementia in the Netherlands. And he called it an Alzheimer's cafe. And really, the premise for him was because he recognized that his patients was just the importance of maintaining that social connection for the person with memory loss and their families. So many individuals coping with the dementia, we know they slowly isolate themselves from the community. Sometimes they may feel embarrassed that they're going to say the wrong thing or maybe do the wrong thing. So really we brought that concept from Europe here to the U.S. And in 2012, the very first memory cafes opened in Wisconsin.
Wow. Becky DeBurr is with us. She is a program director and outreach specialist for the Alzheimer's and Dementia Alliance of Wisconsin. Have you been to a memory cafe? Perhaps you've taken your aging parent or a relative to one. And if so, what was that experience like? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. Becky, a memory cafe focused on arts-related activities just is opening in Madison, about to open in Madison. What is that arts focus like?
Well, it's really interesting because we just had our first opening last Thursday, and they will continue to meet monthly. And so it's bringing in outside artists to help with that expression. So it could be music, it could be watercolor painting, it could be dance or yoga. And so just that opportunity for people who really connect in that way, that are looking for more specific activities to that, the arts, that's really the focus. And the person leading that is Noreen Crollup, who's based in our Madison office, and she has a long career of working with teaching artists, really, how to work with people who have memory loss. And so this is a passion of hers that we're so fortunate at the Alzheimer's Alliance that she has agreed to join our staff as our colleague and bring this really neat focus to the memory cafes.
As you've seen these memory cafes opening and building around the state, what has the reception been like to them?
The reception's been wonderful. At the Alzheimer's and Dementia Alliance, we really have a focus on rural communities. So we have outreach specialists in 15 counties, specifically speaking. And Dane County is the only really highly populated county of those 15. And so we're out in Grant County, Wisconsin, and Crawford County, and we're up in Sauk and Green Lake. And the turnout and the enthusiasm for memory cafes is wonderful. I think people are really looking for ways to after that diagnosis, how do I keep my loved one active? Where do I turn? What do I do? And so we try to be the answer to that so that isolation and depression doesn't, become a focus for that specific household unit. And we're drawing people out, and it's really about creating friendships and having those just relationships where there's special meaning behind it. That's really where the Memory Cafe's focus is.
How have you seen loved ones, caregivers, impacted by Memory Cafe's?
Well, it's at the Alzheimer's and Dementia Alliance, our Memory Cafe facilitators go through a specific training, and so they're very knowledgeable about dementia and how it affects the person. But we're also really concerned about our care partners and how do we support them. So much of a Memory Cafe is modeling those interactions. We know that communication is one of the most stressful things with dementia, not only for the caregiver, but for the person with dementia. So oftentimes that word is right there on the tip of their tongue, but it just doesn't quite come. Or maybe they're, instead of saying the word, they're describing what it is they're trying to say. And so really the Memory Cafe gives folks the opportunity to see those interactions modeled. We always want to leave the silver lining or the feeling of hope, because the journey with dementia can be quite difficult, and it can be long for care partners. So just that interaction and just feeling uplifted when you leave, that is really, really the focus for us.
We're talking about Memory Cafes with Becky DeBurr, started right here in Wisconsin. She is program director for the Alzheimer's and Dementia Alliance of Wisconsin. We're looking at how these cafes are a way for families to connect with others dealing with the same issues. Wisconsin has about 115,000 people living with dementia. According to the State Department of Health Services, that number of people with dementia is expected to rise dramatically as the population ages. What questions do you have about memory cafes? What do you think is the best way to support people with dementia? Join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. There's a line for you. We'll pick up the conversation in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. There are at least 20 memory cafes around the state now, and they're in a dozen counties. We're talking about these gatherings and how they help individuals and families cope with dementia and Alzheimer's. A memory cafe is a social gathering place for people with memory loss, mild cognitive impairment, early Alzheimer's, or other dementia, and their family and friends. Have you been to one? What was your experience like? What do you think is the best way to support people with Alzheimer's or dementia? Join in with your story at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. We're talking with Becky DeBurr. She is our guide. She's program director and outreach specialist for the Alzheimer's and Dementia Alliance of Wisconsin. Becky, we talked a little bit about Madison's new memory cafe, but how have you seen it spread around the state, and what are some of the other themes?
Oh, well, there we in our Alzheimer's Alliance service delivery area, we have a memory cafe in nearly every county, I believe. I say nearly because we are currently going through a 5-county expansion right now, and so some of those are getting up and going shortly if they're not already happening. So the memory cafes do look different in the rural communities. They often are smaller in attendance, which, you know, we would expect. However, the benefits are still the same, where it's stimulating the mind, that opportunity to ask questions and get information in a safe environment, to be around people who understand, maybe offering a peer support as your relationship develops or friendships blossom. So it is, connecting to resources is a little different in the rural communities because we don't have as many resources as some of the bigger cities or towns may have. But we still have those avenues and those experts out in the rural communities that are always more than willing to help us build that dementia community and bring awareness to what's available for people on the dementia journey. And so spreading the word is really important, letting people know it's happening and really offering that open invitation. Anyone can come and partake. You don't have to have a diagnosis to come to one of our memory cafes. In general, if you identify as having some memory issues, that's okay, too. We're open and affirming to everyone.
If a community would like to get a memory cafe started, what is the avenue to getting one off the ground, getting one started?
Sure. Well, you can work through the Alzheimer's and Dementia Alliance. We offer our training to anyone who would like to do that. Oftentimes, we see small groups of volunteers come together and want to bring this to their community, and that is a very powerful thing. So we like to get together. We offer the training to everyone who's going to be involved, from the top all the way down to maybe someone who's going to take the phone calls. We want everyone to know and understand what a memory cafe is about. And so oftentimes they are volunteer-driven, and again, our information is open. Folks can contact us to get more information, to set them up. And then through the Alzheimer's and Dementia Alliance, we offer support. Once you are going as a memory cafe, we're there to offer resources and just support the facilitator as they move about. We also train the volunteers who want to be involved, because that's an important part of letting people know what's happening in your community, is the volunteers can speak to the memory cafe and have a good understanding about that, and so we offer that as well. So the memory cafes too, we do a lot of publicity, and so we look at what are the best ways to do that in your community, and what are the niche areas where people will hear about this. So every memory cafe is a little bit different because it's driven by the participants and those that are helping facilitate it. So some can be more educational, some can be more social. Some are a combination of social and education. It just really depends on the participants.
Well, let's go to the phones now with Terry, who has dementia on her mind as she talks about dealing with a family member who had dementia. Terry, go ahead.
I'd just like to say that I'm 57, UW alumni at the Dairy Science School here, and I've got knocked out two or three times, And I had a grandpa who had dementia bad, but he smoked heavy and whatnot continuously for a long time and drank. I quit drinking alcohol 3 years ago, and it's helped me immensely. I do believe my brain is getting better, but back to my dementia, it comes and goes. I'm eating healthy, trying to get vitamins. I often go to, maybe I shouldn't say this, the community pharmacy, kind of out my back door to the left.
Terry, where do you find support? Where is that social support network for you?
I think what I support the best is I know quite a few business owners. I've been around town for 33 years now. My son's 31, about 33 years. And I know a lot of business, August Store. Making new connections, I think, is very important.
So you continually try to reach out to others as you, you deal with your own dementia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I went through PTSD from being a soldier in childhood, and I went through therapy for it. But the dementia thing, it's like you were saying earlier in your show as I was listening, it can be tricky, to say the least.
Well, Terry, thank you for the call. Becky, what strikes you there as Terry works through those memory loss issues?
Right. So for Terry, he did bring up a few things, and one would be, sounds like he has a military background, and so we're always trying to connect folks to resources in their community. And I would say to Terry that the VA has a very robust system in place for diagnosing dementias and support for the person and the care partner. And so I would encourage him to seek out what may be offered there, or to find an Alzheimer's support agency to help him take those next steps if he was looking to do that. And, of course, he talked about concussions, and so this is something that's been in the news a lot, and there's research surrounding this concussion syndrome, and as we learn more, I think we'll be able to speak more to that. But obviously that would be one to follow up with his primary care doctor on what could be the next steps that we could look into for that. But, you know, also the effect that alcohol can have on memory is, so if you are a person with memory loss and have a diagnosis and you are consuming alcohol, it is recommended to reduce that to the lowest level possible for you, just to make daily living more enjoyable, less confusion and things like that. So there's as Terry's situation, as he explained to us, it does get quite complicated. And where we can go with it is in the state of Wisconsin, we have the Wisconsin Alzheimer's Institute Network of Memory Diagnostic Clinics. And so those are really our experts in diagnosing and teasing out what may be happening here more extensively for Terry. And we always encourage families to seek out that resource and have that thorough testing done. Not everyone who goes to a memory diagnostic clinic is diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease or a similar dementia. Sometimes there's medication interactions. Sometimes there's other things going on. But having that in-depth look helps us figure that out for the patient. And at the geriatric assessment clinic where I meet along with the geriatrician and nurse practitioner with families, I've seen this many time and again. Also, depression plays quite an impact on memory loss, and so it's often, again, something we see and is treated once that is uncovered. So really wanting people to know that Wisconsin's very much on the cusp of innovation when it comes to supporting that diagnostic piece, but also care partners, because when you have the diagnosis, your pathway is narrowed to resources that are really going to help you now. And that's what the Alzheimer's and the Dementia Alliance focuses on, is how do we help people on the journey?
Yeah, because Alzheimer's and dementia are diseases with no cure, and patients and families really must find their own ways to manage the symptoms with their caregivers and their medical team. But outside of memory cafes, what other support is out there, activities available for this group of people?
Sure. There are education programs, and oftentimes we see that people do need to build their knowledge. Anytime you're entering any type of disease category, no matter what it is. Understanding more about what's happening to your loved one or yourself is really powerful, and having that knowledge to move forward. It also helps to work alongside folks who've been there already, and maybe our support groups are a place where we have support groups for people with memory loss, but also for care partners. So we can talk about, troubleshoot different situations. Oftentimes we learn the most from someone who's been through that before us, and so sharing of that information. There's other things like Meeting of Minds is a meditation relaxation type group for people with early stage memory loss, and so connecting to our thoughts and sometimes our emotions, because it's an emotional journey, and when we turn away from that, I think we're doing a little bit of a disservice, because when folks are heard and have the opportunity to share really what's on their mind, they can leave feeling better. And well, that's what it's all about.
Becky, thanks for joining us. Becky DeBurr is Program Director and Outreach Specialist for the Alzheimer's and Dementia Alliance of Wisconsin. Coming up next, the government shutdown has officially hit the 1-month mark. We'll take a look here on the Ideas Network.